We are phenomenal.
You are phenomenal.
I love you. You love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug, but not a kiss for you. I love this guy. I love this guy. I wish I could, I'm trying to catch up with him. You see this? This is what I do at the beach. I hate to shave. I hate to shave. So I was like, okay, can I get away with not shaving for a day or two? But I think it would take me... This would be what Dr. Rome would call a desire, not a goal for me. Because it's impossible for me, okay? Unless it's Halloween or something.
So
okay.
Quick story about a beard.
Quick story about the beard, okay.
A couple of years ago, me and my daughter went skiing in Colorado, and we were getting on a lift, and the guy on the lift are putting us on a chair, and he looks at me, and he said, "That is a gordacious beard." So now this is a gordacious beard. If you ever wonder how a gordacious beard looks like.
Gordacious.
Gordacious. This is it.
So we were doing this. Okay, so BK, first of all, tell everybody how we know each other.
So I think was, what was the year? Did anybody can tell me that year that Howard had a video badge? That's when I met
1912,
Howard.
1912, maybe.
So it was in 2009 or 10, I met Howard in... I saw him first time in Vegas in a restoration convention, and I said, "Man, this guy is—it's in some cult."
In Vegas, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But he had a systems, and I knew a little bit about everything that he was talking about, but I didn't know what he was talking about. So, and that time I didn't have any money, so I was just kind of like following Howard. And a lot of times when he would give free stuff, I would get free stuff.
Now you give me money.
Well, I was talking to a lady earlier.
Like you give me $100 bills now. This is not the first time I've gotten a $100 bill from him. When I need cash, I know who to go to.
There's been so many people in this country that helped me beyond belief. When we came here, we didn't have a place to stay. We were going from a place to place, and some odd people that we don't even know, we stayed with them for about a month, then the 10 days here and 10 days there, and then we couldn't rent the apartment, and people helped us in many, 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 many ways. So I am... grateful that I can do something little for other people, because that's what we do. That's what Howard does. That's what Ziegler does. That's what Dr. Rome does. So I'm thankful for that.
We're grateful for you. You're awesome. So BK started traveling with Dr. Rome and working together, and you know, one day, I think it was your idea on the goal setting, right? Did you tell him why don't you have a? Did
yeah,
you ask
so
him why don't you have a goal setting?
Dr. Rome shared a little bit. I became a ZLC, Ziegler certified legacy trainer. I became a Ziegler coach, DISC, and I've been looking at this stuff. And me and Dr. Rome were talking one day about. He didn't like the goal setting thing idea, because every leadership book and every goal setting book was written by the D's for the D's. And I said, "But you have this. How come you don't have, let's write it down something. Let's put together. We don't have to reinvent the wheel," which almost we did.
Oh, well, the wheel, yes.
Yeah. So there
no
is already
intended.
Basis laid out. Let's do this. And he was hesitant, whatnot. And in the whole process, I was finding myself spiritually, and he was guiding me. And he gave me a Bible, Bible study Bible. It's like this big. And he explained me how it works. And I heard this term vision, and I start digging. through the Bible and started with the first piece, and we'll go there. And everything kind of flow from that Bible that is what is coming next, what we're going to share with you. And when I presented that to Dr. Rome, then he was like, okay, let's do this. And we worked together and put this together, and it's been going on. This is actually the first official event that we went from the start to the end. There were some parts.
I think we did one virtually one time. You guys did it in Cancun just to flesh it out. Then I think we did it.
We did it in the Shopafalooza thing with the.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know where you went. We left.
That's where we did it, yeah.
But this is actually the first time that all these booklets are printed in a way. I have one booklet, and I was going to tease Howard. Dr. Rome gave me the first booklet, but it's not this. I left it inside. And it's written all over, and he said he doesn't use the first, and I'm thinking that's the only one that I want to use.
The first iteration of it?
The first iteration.
Yeah.
But this is what you see right now. It's just we are at 99% on this. But everything came about, and I believe everything came from God. And everything that I have in my life, that I am today, that I will ever be, I can thank to God. And I'm just an entry-level Christian. I am just...
Okay, so I love what he did with what BK did with this vision acronym, definitely anointed. And there's a Japanese proverb that I really love that says, "Vision without action is just a daydream." Vision without action is just a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. And where most people live in our culture is action every day. Busy, busy, busy. Just being busy. Where are you going? No vision. Action without vision is a nightmare. And that's where most people are living right now. So I want you to take it from here. I'll be right here if you need me. But walk us through those six vision steps. And
absolutely. So the first thing I want to just go over this, and then after this, we won't need a PowerPoint.
Okay.
But
all right.
Moving forward require vision. Moving forward require vision. How many of you have a flat? Anybody has a flat on a bike? Right? So the first thing that we need to do is we need to fix the flat. And as many of you are Ziegler and went through Ziegler goal setting, this is very similar, but it's all scripture based. So you'll see a lot of similarities on the goal settings with Ziegler. But this is a step by step how to fix that flat. A vision will help you set a goal. If you don't have a vision, you're not going to be able to achieve that goal. A goal without a date is just a dream. But dream without vision can become a nightmare. I had a balloon over here that I want to share something. So how many of you had a dream, right? And you hold that dream for a very long time. And then you hold that dream, and you hoping that one day, by osmosis, that dream is going to become a reality. But what's going to happen is just, it can go anywhere. Sometimes the things happen that we plan for something, one thing, and then the other things happen. But if we don't have a vision, we're not going to be able to achieve a goal, and we're not going to be able to turn that vision into a goal. So what vision stands for? It's six steps. Howard, just one question. What's my time so that I know?
Let me check.
Okay. So the vision has six steps. V stands for visualize. I is for internalize. S is strategize. I, initiate. O, overcome. And N, necessitate. I'm going to go in order how that everything came to me. Recently, I started reading Howard's book, Failure to Implement. And the first thing popped is, and Howard mentioned this earlier, Zig Ziglar said the secret ingredient of success is a desire. And desire comes as a result of the vision. So why more people don't have a compelling vision for their life? If it's that easy, if it's that easy, why everybody's not doing? Can anybody tell me what is a dream for them? What dream represent for you? Anybody? Right, Sherry Perry?
So one dream that I have for my company is to have it be the place where people go to grow. So you heard Howard say that earlier. It's on our sign. It's everywhere. But I want TMC to be a growth factory for the staff members that come to work there. So not just a job, but a literal place where they can transform their lives, you know, personally and professionally. That's a big dream of mine.
Okay. And to ask the following question, follow-up question, how that dream aligns with the dream of your team?
I think it's in great alignment with the team. They're loving every minute of it, and we have amazing engagement. We have team members that are buying houses, having babies, you know, trading up into better cars, better lifestyles, just a lot of fulfillment. It's really good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the case in every company. It wasn't the case in my company. Right now in my company, we're going through this whole program because we want to make sure that our vision and our dreams align.
So BK, it was not the case in our company before the Inner Circle, because Dean and I were on a great path building the home of our dreams, doing what we wanted to do. And then I took a walk down a 1,000-foot driveway with a staff member who I just thought was bought in heart and soul, who was there to resign because he didn't see his future in our future. So the whole thing of sharing your vision and making sure your staff knows what that vision is and making sure they're in alignment with it, like you just asked, is so huge. And it's heartbreaking to even recall that walk. I just never want to have that walk again.
Yeah, because vision plus vision,
yep,
equals the vision. So if your vision is not in alignment with your people vision or your family vision, it's going to create some friction. So by dictionary, a dream is a series of thought, images, and sensation occurring in a person's mind. Vision, on the other hand, is ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. Did you ever wonder why Webster wrote dictionary? When he comes home, when he came home, his wife will always ask him, "Well, what is that supposed to mean?" So the first step is to visualize. Where there is no vision, people perish. That is Habakkuk 2:2, right? The one thing that I like about this, I like the New International Version. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Like that balloon that I just let go, if there is no revelation, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have compelling vision for your life, for your business, for every spoke of that wheel, your life can go like this balloon. I shared the story the other day with somebody about everybody watched saw the Alice in Wonderland. She came to a crossroads in front of the Cheshire Cat and asked, "How can I get out of here?" And the cat said, "Where do you want to go?" And Alice said, "I don't care." "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." So you got to know where you want to go. If you can't see God's plan for you, you'll be pulled in every way, in every direction. The Ziegler said, "Do you want to be wandering generality or a meaningful specific?" What kind of vision you have for your life? One thing we have, and this is literally fresh off the press, we created a little vision board, and I'll show you some pictures of some my vision boards and some other people. But there is a, please grab one for each of you. There is over there on the table on the end. You can take that home, fill in each area of the of those wheels is there and has its own place that you can put pictures, visualize, create a compelling vision for your life so you can see. If you can see it, you can achieve it. This is the time, this is the place where you need to use your C trait. Get deep, get detail, and write down everything. All the details. If you want a car, what kind of car it is, what's the color, how many horsepower, what's the engine, is it two-seater, four-seater, four-wheel, two-wheel, all the details. Get the pictures, download, put them up. Yesterday, Howard said, people do what people see in their mind. If we don't see those things, if we don't plant the seed, the weeds will grow. Anybody has garden? Sherry yesterday mentioned if you have a garden, even if you plant the good seed, the weeds will grow regardless. But if you don't plant anything, the weeds will grow for sure. The next about the visualize for me, it's important because I am here today because of that. In 2009, our visa expired. They extended my visa, but my wife and my son visa were not extended. And at that moment, they were illegally in the United States. I didn't want to go, but I knew that I didn't want to have my son being here growing up illegally. I had a dream before that, and I had my goals, and I have vision to have a house, a car, a motorcycle, a company. And all that, my entire life dream was fulfilling. But I wasn't specific. And I had to leave and leave everything behind in the United States. And my friend, I remember, my friend was taking us to the airport. We're going back to apply for visa because that's the only way that they can come back and stay legally here. And we don't know what's going to happen. And so they're all in the car, we are packed, the bags are inside, and I'm standing in front. And they're like, "Come on." I said, "No, I can't. I just realized I achieve my life goals and dreams. I don't have anything to look forward." I said, "We're never going to come back." And so literally I stand in front of my house and I start imagining how in the next 10 years, I'm going to make $1 million and how my company is going to be big and how we're going to have a house and a vacation and everything. And I will start painting that picture in my head. And guess what? We are here. We went back and we came back. But I believe that God didn't stop me there and said, and I just continue, I would not be here standing today. So visualize. Visualize. The next. Sorry, I'm behind. is I internalize. This is not working, so I'm going to leave it. Internalize. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. I planted. So this is not in a booklet. Oh, it is. Yeah, sorry. I planted a seed. Apollo watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. But only God who makes things grow. When I had that vision in front of my house, first of all, I already spent that money that I was making it. And my wife can confirm that that's true. And I said yesterday, one of the things that my dad said is, you never can make enough money as much as you can save. So save money when you make money. But when I had that vision, I internalized it. I started seeing it. I started believing it. I felt every bit of it. Next thing is S, strategize. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. This is Proverbs 14:15. I'm not going to go into details. Everything is explained down below. But if you have any questions, please stop me. But I just want to tell you how much this meant for me, because when I went, and if you have a study Bible and you go take a look at there, and start with the without vision people perish, it will take you and you will find all these steps in there. It's incredible. That's what happened to me. That's how all this came about. It just one thing after another. So it just took me to the next step and the next step and the next step. And it was just multiple that I didn't do anything. He did everything. So simple believe anything, but the prudent give thoughts to their steps. What are we doing here today? We are planning our future. First, we're planting a seed. And then we're going to water it, fertilize it, make it grow, nourish it, and then we will reap what we sow. So be careful what kind of seed you are planting. Because God will let you plant a good seed, but He'll also let you plant a bad seed. And I can tell you one thing. If your life is just smooth, you're probably going in the wrong direction. Because you saw the bicycle. I don't think there is anybody that has smooth, round wheels. And we know when the wheels are not round, what kind of ride is. But that's where the character comes in. All right. So strategize. I had a thing that guided me through a lot through my business life is a rule of 6P. Prior proper planning prevent poor performance. Break a goal into small bite-sized pieces. I think it was a 2016 when we were first time in Destin, and Tim was here from a Ziegler family, and he was talking about the family goals and how family have meetings. And so when we went back, we had our first family meeting. And I was asking my kids and my wife, what is that thing that you want to do, be, do, and have in life that is bigger than you? And they're all saying different things. But my youngest one, he looked at me and he said, I want to eat an elephant. And we were all like, what? He said, I want to eat an elephant. I said, can you explain that? You said, to imagine what we're going to be, do, and have that is bigger than us. He was 6'7". It was so cute. But again, leadership is what? Communicating, effectively communicating our vision. I wasn't communicating to him on his level. So, but what you can do if you have to eat that elephant, you can eat that elephant one bite at a time. Initiate the next step. Can anybody tell me what initiate means? The word change meanings. Initiate means this. I was having a lunch with my wife. She ate a sandwich, initiate salad. All right, English is a second language. I'll start again. My wife ate a sandwich, initiate a salad. All right, initiate. Proverbs 12:25. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in a forced labor. As you guys see, we put this as an ancient wisdom because we want to attract people to God. We want to invite people to God. And this is just a little nuggets that can help people cross over. Why I came to the United States is I believed in the hard work. I was a high D off the chart, and I didn't know anything else other than working hard. I grew up on a pig farm, as you heard probably. We had, at the most, we had 1,600 pigs at the time. And it was my job to clean it. So I never played sport, never did anything, but I worked. Since I was 11, I was riding tractor. I worked hard. But because we didn't own the pigs, by the way, it was a program where you just provide labor to feed them and grow them. But we were very poor. And because of that, I was ostracized. I was pushover. And my family had a name. It's called Krajcar. Krajcar is Hungarian monetary, where it's like today worth 1/100th of the penny. So we were worthless. I was growing with that image. And the only thing I knew is to work hard. So when I came in the United States, I blew everybody away. I work harder than anybody. And then 2008, 2007 happened. We came here in 2006, but 2007 and 2008 happened. And my business partner's dad lost his $22 million company overnight. But we started growing. We started, and our company started growing. And we didn't notice that, but he saw me. And he called me. And we started seeing each other. And after some time, that was an awakening moment for me. He looked at me. He said, I love you. And I want you to know something. I see myself in you. And I was so proud. But I didn't expect what he's going to say next. He said, you win because you work hard and you outwork everybody. And then everybody that you outwork is behind you dead. And you're standing on the top of the hill as a winner alone. And he said, I don't know your family and I don't know your wife, but I think that your marriage is either at the waterfall or it's already over. And as a strong D, I just said, you know what? I don't need this. So we went away each ways, and I started driving home. And I thought, he's crazy. But I started noticing what I was doing. And after I saw on a wheel, on a personal wheel where I was, I realized I have to do something. You know, there is a little song that I want to share. And song is titled, Whose Job It Is Anyway. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that, but it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up everybody blaming somebody when nobody did it, what anybody could have done. So initiate. If you need to do something, the answer is in that question. It's your job. Oh, overcome. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of the fools. It's not if, it's when the obstacle get in front of you, when problem happen, when somebody gets sick, when you get divorced, when something bad happen, what are you going to do? You see, this building didn't happen by osmosis. That just didn't happen here. Howard shared a story in his book about how much he went through building his house. And it was borderline miracle. Some of the things were miracles, getting it done. We will encounter obstacles. And I'm not talking about planning for obstacles. But what would you do? What will you do when the obstacle happens, when the problem arises? Think about that, because we all know we get some problems, we get issues, obstacle present to us. And I always said, not always, but since I joined this group, I said what Ziegler said, failure is not a person, it's an event. And the failure is learning opportunity. What we can learn if we fail or when we fail. Don't allow the obstacle to stop you and start over again. Plan for them. I noticed something, that the closest I get to something that God wanted me to have and wanted me to be, the more difficult things, the more difficult is for me to achieve that goal. I heard this once, and I don't know who wrote it. The danger is greatest when the finish line is in sight. How many times it happened to you that you know, we all have businesses here, you know you have that customer in a bag. You already started spending money, and then you get a call. I was sharing, can I share your story? No, I'm sorry. I forgot your name. Yes. So yesterday we were talking, and he said they spent so much money looking at the property and due diligence, and it was done deal. They were writing the contract. And then they just call him and say, hey, sorry, we'll go with somebody else. But they made the agreement. How many times that happened to you? We got to be prepared. And you know what he said? That's okay. Failure is not the person. It's an event. What I realize is that the setback is a setup for a comeback. So if we look at that, it's an opportunity. All right. The last thing, necessitate. Necessitate. By the way, did anybody have to overcome some issues last year? All right. Necessitate. I'm not going to use what is in the booklet. There is a one more powerful verse for me. It's 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing of glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, ye who is unto me, if I preach not gospel. I think this is Apostle Paul said. It's a necessity. You know, if I get knocked down and lose my company, I was thinking, I talked to you yesterday. I started as a carpet cleaner, and I love carpet cleaning. I told him, I said, I want to start a carpet cleaning business again. Because that's what I love. It's the biggest difference in these dirty apartments that we do, that you can show somebody that the dirtiest carpet ever, you can turn into like brand new looking. Instead of spending a bunch of money changing. I feel like God put me to clean these apartments and nothing else to do. And I would do it for free if I can. And a lot of times I do.
They're hired.
But what is that God compelled you to do? You know, there is two most important days in every person's life. The first is when they are born, and the second, when they find out why. What is that God-given gift that you have inside of you, and you have done nothing about it? Some of us are living our dream. But what is that one thing that you've been putting off that is blow up as that balloon that I was holding? And if you put some wings on it and some the like arrow things, English is like a language, you could make that balloon go straight and far. So what is that you are born with, that you are born for? You know, I read the Bible for the first time a couple of years ago, and over there, I couldn't find the one thing that said, ask and then you need to do these things, and then follow these steps. The only thing that I read over there is to ask. How to is none of your business. So have you asked God, what is your purpose in life? Why you are on this earth? And sometimes God doesn't answer. It really doesn't matter what somebody else can do it for you. All that's matter, what are you willing to do for you? Coaching for Performance. Anybody read that book? I found only four things in that book. And the first question is, what do you want? The second, where are you now? Wheel. The third question, what could you do? And the fourth question is, what will you do? So what will you do? What is that thing that you're going to do when you go back home? This is your vision. This is not my vision. This is your vision. There's one more thing. It's actually two things. You got to have a fate and a date. You got to have a fate and a date. And why I say fate and a date? Well, fate in the Bible says that fate is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen yet. I added that yet. That's what it is. It's a substance of things hoped for and an evidence of things not seen yet. So ask and you shall begin. It doesn't say ask and then you need to do this and then you go to I didn't do for God. Ask and you shall be given. Have faith. And like Elise said yesterday, just put out some date, put out the things, invent, imagine, dream. That's why we are here. This is a dream retreat. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is John 13:17. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. But I really like the whole John 13 section. So, but if you want to read that. But that's it. Does anybody have any questions? Who has my first question?
Okay, Greg. Somebody does. Over here.
Yes.
Well, I really appreciate what you just shared. That was really great. What brought you to the Lord? You said you're just learning, you're just beginning. What brought you to the Lord?
Well, actually, it was my grandmother when I was very young, and then I kind of let that go away. I grew up an Orthodox Christian, so in the church, in Orthodox Christian church, they speak this Slavic language. We don't have a Bible because that's in a church, and it's you just go there and listen. Whatever they speak, you don't understand. So my grandmother it's my aunt from my dad. But she believed in it, and she instilled that in me, that God is there for me, and He'll do things for me if I believe. And what brought me back was the first birthday of our oldest son. He started having tremendous, tremendous headaches. And on his birthday, we had a bunch of people. It was about 9 o'clock p.m. He was just screaming. He had a headache. So we take him to in Serbia, and my mother-in-law, she was a nurse. And we take him to the emergency, and they checking him. They put him on a scan, and doctor comes in, and he says, your son has a brain tumor. And what do you do? What do you say on that? What do you do? And so, come back tomorrow. We came back tomorrow. They did the stuff. And it's gone. But there was a mass. There was something. And what I did, I went back home. And on the way home, I gave myself to God. And I didn't know how, but I just said, I prayed to save my son, and it was something that changed my life. And I made some promises, and my son is 18 now and is better than ever, and it was just they think that was a mistake, but I know it wasn't a mistake. It was a miracle. It was a thing that God did for my son. But you see, the God never go away from us, but we do. And when I did the wheel for the first time, I realized what I was doing. I didn't go away from a God, but I wasn't committed. And I'm just entry-level Christian. I am doing everything that I can. But that to me, that is everything. And in the Destin, that year, the Howard was the first that prayed for me ever. I just show up to walk on the beach. And Dr. Rome helped me a lot, but the Howard was first that ever prayed for me. That I know. Yes, sir. And I was so uncomfortable and I was so not there, but I walked with you guys on the beach and I was like, yes. And we were talking this morning and I said, my wife, she said, we're going. So tomorrow we'll be there. But Howard was the first that ever prayed for me. That's the story.